Let's just have a listen to the story in Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Every single person, in terms of their response to Jesus, falls into one of two categories. There are only two responses, really, to Jesus. Either you fall at his feet and you worship and adore him, or you don't. You try and get rid of him. Either you love Jesus as the Son of God, or you're his enemy. Either you're in the camp of the faithful, that is, you are one of those like the wise men, or you're in the camp of the foolish and you reject him. There's just the two responses, ultimately. Let's just think about the camp of Herod to begin with, this camp of the foolish. And the way of Herod is to try and get rid of Jesus. When Herod said he wanted to go and worship the child, he was lying. He was lying through his teeth. He was deceitful. And he couldn't be trusted. And rather, it seems that he saw Jesus as a rival to be gotten rid of, a rival that would one day perhaps threaten his power, his authority, his way of life that came with all that power and authority, his being able to do whatever he chose, whenever he chose to do it, and live however he pleased. Just wanted to do away with this rival. And he took that to the extreme within a matter of days of going to Bethlehem and slaughtering every baby boy under the age of two. That is the hatred of the Son of God in the flesh. Are you someone who is trying to get rid of Jesus? Yes, we know that Jesus now is risen from the grave. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. There is nowhere you can go on earth to hunt him down physically and do away with him. But nonetheless, are you trying to get rid of Jesus from your life? There are various ways in which you might be doing this. You might, like Herod, be trying to suppress the truth by your own wickedness. Just suppressing the truth about Jesus. Isn't it amazing the amount of evidence that was in front of Herod? It's just extraordinary. You have these wise men traveling from afar who rock up in his city, in his area, and there's a great stir across the whole region because they are saying that the long-promised Saviour of the world, the Messiah, the King of the Jews, has arrived on earth. And they have come to worship him. And these people don't present as crazy people. These are wise, godly people who are full of adoration for this newborn king. There is something compelling about their message. And yet, that's not enough for Herod. And then you have this cosmic sign that he's aware of, that they tell him about. This star that appears. There is no one in this room or throughout all of human history who had a star appear declaring their arrival on earth, let alone angels coming and declaring it to shepherds and wise men or foretold for centuries past. But there's this cosmic sign saying, this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But that's not enough for Herod. Not enough proof. And then you have, extraordinarily, these prophecies being fulfilled. So much so is he clear about their being true that he even goes to the religious leaders and he says to them, where's he going to be born? They knew who it was who had come into the world. And the religious leaders are able to say to him, well, we know it's going to be in Bethlehem. That's where the Messiah is going to be born. Why? Because 700 years before, Micah the prophet had it revealed to him and it was recorded for them to see and read even now. Now you have far more evidence than Herod. You have the record of his life as he grew up. He's just a 2-year-old boy at this point. You know that this little baby laid in a manger who would grow up to be the one of whom Isaiah said, the lame would leap for joy, the deaf would hear, the mute would speak, the blind would see. You know that he went about doing good continually. You know that he rose Lazarus from the dead. He could bring the very dead back to life. And the widow's child brought back to life. He has authority over death itself. You know his teachings. You can read the wisdom of God that was being spoken out of this amazing man's mouth who was God made flesh. You've got all of that. And you know that he had this person who came before him saying, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the sacrifice we've been waiting for. This is the one who can deal with your sin, who can give you everlasting life. Follow him. I must decrease. He must increase. You know about all this. You have far more evidence than Herod could ever dream of. And yet are you trying to suppress the truth by your wickedness? Are you ignoring what you know to be true and going your own way? You can also do that in various other ways as well. You can rely on empty religion. Ritual. You know, there's Herod, all fawning and feigning at the wise men, say, oh, come and tell me when you find him, and I'll go and worship him. All outward show, pretense, hypocrisy. You can live a religious lie of a life and think you're getting away with it. But God will not be mocked. You cannot hide your heart from God. He sees you. He knew Herod. He revealed to the wise men, don't go back that way. He knows you inside out and back to front. He knows you better than you know yourselves. You cannot mock God by being a hypocrite. Third way you can try and get rid of Jesus is maybe recreating him in your mind. Oh, okay, well, yeah, I know he was there. Maybe he was a moral teacher. Maybe he was a sort of mere symbol of hope. Maybe he was a kind of work of fiction or a legend. Just try and recreate this Jesus, despite all of the evidence of who he really is, shouting at you, here is the Son of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And you can try and recreate him. It's a bit like staring up at that eclipse or covering Christmas with presents, something blocking your view. Anything will do. Just, I don't want to accept the truth that is before me. Anything that can eclipse him and block out the light. There are people who live like that. Is that you? Well, all attempts to try and block him out, all attempts to get rid of him, all attempts to try and reinvent him, they are doomed to fail. Because Jesus is the Lord and God of all. He is the one who flung the stars into space. He is your creator. He is the one to whom one day you will give an account, because you will see him face to face. And any doubt you've got now will have gone by then. But will it be too late? You must come to know him before you breathe your last. There is nothing more urgent. Friends, you need to go the way of the wise men, you see, because they knew how precious this King of Kings, this forever King, really is. They understood. And it says, going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down. They showed their submission to this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, the one who is the author of life, the one who has come to rescue them from their sin and give them eternity with him in glory. They bend their knees and adore him and worship him. You see, this one who they were adoring and worshiping, he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. For in him, all things hold together. All things were created. Things in heaven, things on earth, things you can see, the things you can't see. Everything was made by him, and it is made for him. You were made for Jesus. You belong to Jesus. That is who you are for. That is what the meaning of your life is, to bring glory to Jesus, your Maker. He is before all things. In him, all things hold together. And God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. So that when you ask the question, what is God like? You look at Jesus and you can see him. You can see his grace, his compassion, his tenderness, his love for the weak, the lost. All who come to him for mercy are washed clean and come to know God. You too can be born again. You can be made a new creation. You come humbly as you are, you bend the knee, and you turn away from your sinful way of living, and you come to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, and he will not turn you away. God is good. God is kind. God is full of love. Jesus said that there is coming a day of reckoning. He told parables about this day. In fact, he spoke about hell more than he did about heaven. And that is a loving warning. It's a reality. Everything he said can be trusted. And he said this is what is coming. And he says, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You must be born again. What does that mean? It means you must believe in Jesus. What does that mean? It means the Spirit of God coming into your hearts the moment you believe and are saved. It means being made a new creation in Jesus Christ, having a whole new life in him, so that you too can understand why it was that the wise men so loved him. You too will understand why it is that he alone is to be worshipped and adored. You need to be born again. And amazingly, although Tim was saying last night about our lives, but under God's rules, interestingly, there's just one command that is important for you. All of the rest falls into place if you obey this one command. In fact, there was a crowd who came to Jesus. They realized he had the answers to the deepest, most longings of their hearts. And they came to him and they said, what is it that we must do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus replies, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Just need to believe. in Jesus, the one he has sent. You know that famous verse, don't you? That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You must believe and be saved in this wonderful God who came into the world, was made flesh, so that the sin of the world might be laid on him at the cross of Calvary and taken away. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've said, no matter how you've lived your life, no matter what level of opposition that you have shown, no matter what dark secrets you may hold that you wouldn't want to be shared with anybody else, no matter what it might look like, Jesus can wash away your sins and give you eternal life. Peace with God, as we were hearing last night in the carol service. Reconciled to God, knowing God in a way you couldn't possibly have imagined. Born of his Spirit, God making his home in you by his goodness and grace. So my prayer is that this Christmas, if you have not yet come to Jesus, that you would do as the shepherds did, that you would turn away and leave everything behind in order to seek him out and bend the knee before him and come to know the living God who takes away the sin of the world. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's pray. Father, we praise you, we thank you for the wonder of Christmas that reminds us you sent your one and only Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, into the world to take away our sin. Father, what a good God you are. What a wonderful God you are. How kind you are. Who are we, Father, that you should be mindful of us? Father, you know us. You know all about us. And yet, Father, you set your love upon us and sent Jesus to die in our place on the cross. Father, we thank you that he didn't remain there, but he rose from the grave, defeating death itself, for death could not hold him. Father, we thank you there is coming a day when Jesus is coming again to this world to judge the living and the dead. Father, we thank you that if we know you through faith in Jesus, then we need fear no condemnation on that day. What a Savior, what a King. What a Lord, what a God. How wonderful you are. We worship and adore you. Amen.